Welcome to Pilgrim Talk. So do you ever wonder about, you know, I mean, you're a guy who prays.
Right.
You are, aren't you?
I do.
You do, yes. Yeah.
I talk to the Lord, yes.
And does it ever happen to you that, you know, you want to pray and it's kind of like it's just not happening for some reason. And there's all kinds of distractions and things that ought to be done, need to be done, should be done. But what you really want to do is to pray and you just don't seem to get there.
Well, here's my solution. Get a dog.
Get a dog.
Get a big hairy dog that needs lots of exercise. That's what we have.
Right.
And so I am out every morning, every day for about the best part of an hour or more.
Right.
Now I don't always pray all the time, but a lot of the time I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've noticed just more conversation with the Lord. It's very natural.
Mm.
I listen, talk, listen. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
It's really blessed me.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose what I've been thinking about is, you know, this coming revival.
Right.
That we're praying for to happen in
Ireland.
It
will happen.
You know?
It will happen.
And it will happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm praying for that, it's like, you know, I really feel like connecting here.
Right.
But then, you know, other times, it's not that there are things that need to be done, but my mind is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I'm just kind of praying and...
It's good to pray in the Holy Spirit. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Not really, when the brain is everywhere. That's a great one. But go on anyway.
Yeah, no, it's just an experience that I had there during the week where, you know, I was conscious of this, that, you know, I really wanted to pray about something and it wasn't happening.
Right.
And I was just stepped back from it for a minute and just said, Lord, I really don't know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And with that came a realization that, I don't know if you ever feel that way, but, you know, and I really want to pray for something effectively.
Yeah, right.
Then I realize, I don't know how to do that.
That often happens, yes.
How do you do that? You see, and what I realized was, that's what was stopping me from really just having this conversation with the Lord.
That's right.
That I was getting into this kind of mode of prayer.
Get this
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, well, I think Christians, we get this Jim will fix it mode, you know, or I'll fix it. I'm going to fix up this desperate world. I'm God's elite here. But you know that it doesn't quite work like that.
No, no.
You know, Jesus says, I will build my church. See?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, not, he didn't say Dave will build my church.
Hmm.
He didn't say I will build Dave's church.
Yeah.
He said I'll build my church.
Yeah.
You want to get in on that? Sure we do.
Yes.
Well, how do we do? We catch the wind of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, we flow where he's flowing.
Yeah.
We don't flow where he ain't flowing.
And, you know, just
that's
the thing
very
of,
simple, doesn't it? But it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the thing of talking to God.
Yeah.
You know, and... You know, sometimes I think we make something of prayer that really, you know, God never intended it to be.
Yeah. You know, look, I wrestle with the words, Dave.
But you know what it is?
What?
It's like we take relationship out of prayer.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, well, then I don't know where I am. I'm at. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm involved in some kind of mind game.
Yeah.
Religious mind game, you know?
Yeah.
And that does not satisfy, because I suppose that's the, you know, isn't that the touchstone of prayer?
Yeah.
That, you know, that if it doesn't connect in our spirit, if we don't witness in our spirit that, you know, something is happening here, then probably, you know, in our spirit, that we're not engaged in our spirit in this process.
Well, if I was to write a book on how to have a successful marriage, I'd say, well, there'd be two chapters. The one is you talk, and the other is you listen.
Right.
You know, well, the listen chapter will probably be twice as long as the talk chapter. But here's the point. Any relationship deals with communication. Yeah. You know, heart to heart, genuine communication. Same with the Lord. You know, if you overgo one way, if you overdo the talking and you never listen, or if you overdo the listening and you never talk, you know, the problem's both ways. But, you know, by God's grace, a normal relationship is listening, probably twice as much as you talk. But anyway, yeah. here's the thing. It's the Lord loves us. He really does. And prayer, I say I wrestle with that word sometimes because there's so much religious baggage goes with it. Mm. You know, if you grow up in good old religious Ireland, prayer means little things you learn off. And you know a good little thing you can learn off for today or for a little way or thing to say about something. Well, you know, that's nothing to do with a relationship.
Yeah.
I don't tell you what to say to your wife. I say, here's a great bit of text now. Try and read that out to your wife, see how you get on. Well, you'd probably come back in next day with a black eye or something, you know, because that's nothing to do with relationship.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of God, relationship ultimately comes down to trust.
Of course it does. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about, you know, that scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray
and seek my face.
And seek my face. Then I will hear from heaven and will
heal the land.
And heal their land.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the thing.
Jeremiah 29:11, I think, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, somewhere there.
Somewhere around there. David, do you really believe that?
Some days.
And this is, you see, this is where my prayer goes off into being something religious.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really aware that there's an issue here for me. Because if I really believe that, if I really, really believe that,
you'd walk in it.
I'd be coming up to Father and saying, you know, Father, look at this. This is what you said.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, and I would be seeking his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be praying.
Yeah.
And I would be, you know, waiting for him. Because, you know, because he says, if I do that, then he will. That's what he will do.
Yeah.
Do I really believe that? You see, and I find that you know, I find there's an inadequacy in myself there. No matter how much I get up on the pulpit and say, "Oh yes, you know, I believe, brother, I believe," you know, but you know, I can say that till the cows come home, doesn't change that inside me.
Yeah,
it's like, well, do I believe?
Yeah,
do I really, really believe that? Because if I do, then, you know, I go with that.
I'm convicted by this day because I know your actions reflect your convictions, you know, your deep down beliefs.
Yeah,
you know, your actions just follow that. You know, and if you did a straw poll of all the Christians out there, including myself and yourself, you know, and we'd all admit our prayer life ain't what we think it ought to be.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the challenge, and the encouragement is that the challenge is this, is, well, that's showing that don't be pointing the finger at everyone else, you know, like personally, you know, how do we view God? And I think the sobering thought is, in a sense, our prayer life reflects how we view God.
Yeah.
You know, and so, of course, there's room for improvement. But let's start from a good point of God's grace, where we know we're loved by God.
Yes.
Where we know we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. We know we're forgiven. And of course, if you're listening to this and you don't yet personally know Jesus, this is a challenge, you know, this the challenge is to turn from your sin and come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven, which is the offer that's there.
Yes.
Because of the blood of the Lamb.
And enter in
into relationship. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But within that relationship, I suppose this is speaking to people who are born again, you know, who do have the Holy Spirit, who know God.
Yeah.
Right. You know, what am I saying? You know, the encouragement is just to walk in that, have this conviction. Don't let the devil beat you up and say you're a useless so-and-so, you know. I was saying the other day, every time the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. That'll shut him up for a few minutes. Yeah. So, Dave, tell me, two opposing kingdoms. We know the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world are different kingdoms, going in different directions.
That's right. Paul and Nuala O'Higgins were talking about that on Saturday night.
Yeah. They're knocking around Ireland these days. In fact, if you all know where Paul and Nuala are, you go onto their website.
Which is?
It's reconciliationoutreach.net.
Right.
And if you fish in there, you'll find an itinerary and all these meetings around Ireland. It's fantastic. It's no
amazing.
Excuse not to catch up with them. So they'll be coming to a town near you.
Yeah, but you know what he was talking about, these two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world.
Yeah.
It really struck me, you know, because of just this conviction that there is about the revival that is coming to Ireland as part of the preparation of the church for Jesus' return.
Yeah.
It really struck me that this divergence is you know, on an accelerating curve.
Divergence of these two kingdoms.
Yeah, yeah. Because God is wanting to take us out of, he's wanting to take us into his kingdom to a greater and greater extent.
Yeah.
And, you know, many years ago I heard somebody describe it like, you know, when you're standing on the pier.
Mm-hmm.
And you have one foot on the pier and you have one foot on the boat.
All right.
And the boat starts to move.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can kind of shuffle along for a while as the
boat... No problem until the boat moves.
Well, that's right.
You can do that.
Yes. And you see, you know, it seems to me, from looking at myself anyway, that, you know, there are attachments, very strong attachments that I have in terms of the kingdom of God.
Right.
You know, that I'm well hooked in there on you know, just even on an emotional level,
mm-hmm.
you know, that in terms of what lights my fire
is
in there. But also, there are many things that I trust in that, you know, are on the that are on the shore side.
Right.
And these are things that, we consider to be very normal.
Give me an example, Dave.
Thing
of the world that you're...
Respect.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that...
Our appearance, yeah.
Well, that, I like people to respect me.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
If I am treated to continual, unabated disrespect for any period of time...
Yeah.
I get upset.
Right.
I get upset.
It's understandable.
Security.
Yeah.
You know, that... you know, to feel secure is important. Sometimes, you know, I would go to church to feel secure.
Right, yeah.
But is that a spiritual thing? No, it's not.
No.
That's a worldly thing.
Yeah, right, interesting.
You know, there's lots of things that attached to in the world.
Yeah.
Now, I use the word attachment because it speaks of something emotional or psychological,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there's very strong things like that. But I also use that word to describe the idea of not just standing on one foot on the pier and one foot on the boat.
Right.
But imagine being handcuffed to the rail of the ship and also to a lamppost.
Oh, right.
So you're not going to end up in one kingdom or the other without being torn apart.
Right, yeah.
And some of the attachments that are being severed in order to bring us into the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
are things that we feel are normal things that are being torn out of us.
Right, yeah.
And maybe it is the respect thing that, you know, I don't have a right to be respected.
No.
Does anybody have a right? But do I get upset if I'm not? Well, yes, I do. I do. And is that something that might inhibit me from living like Jesus?
Yeah, might.
That need to be, because Jesus, you know, didn't have that need to be respected.
Yeah, he didn't look to man for his respect. He knew, and the fantastic thing is, he knew, because it says he knew who he was, where he came from, where he was going.
He was secure
in the knowledge that he was the Son of the Father.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't seeking the approval of men.
Which is
a fantastic liberty.
And not just the approval of men, but the respect of men. That it says that he endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, he didn't give a jot about the respect, you know, or the respect being taken away from him, put in a shameful situation.